The Gospel of the Ten Lepers symbolizes the human race. Out of the ten, only one came back to thank Jesus. And Luke makes sure he tells us who he was. He didn't have to. This one was, by Jewish standards, a heretic. Samaritans were outlawed by the Jews. On other occasions, remember, Samaritans are featured in the life of Christ. It's remarkable. Over the centuries since the Gospel, we keep talking about the good. Good what? Good Israelites? Good Samaritan? It was a Samaritan woman that evoked from Christ that profession of who he is, the Messiah is speaking to you. So here, only one out of ten came back to thank Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. Nothing that God has revealed to us in the Scriptures is said in, you might say, casual observation. I think the ratio is about right. One out of ten people is just about the proportion of people who are grateful. Most people, judging by what we have just read, and this was meant to teach us a lesson, most people do not think. Most people take for granted that what they get, they have a right to. How many parents by now have told me how ungrateful their children are? How ungrateful a husband can be to his wife, and a wife to her husband. I hate to say it, but after so many years of teaching, I trust God understands. But most of the students I've taught have not shown gratitude. They will quibble and raise a fuss and report the teacher to the dean if they don't get what they thought they had a right to. It never occurs to them, in a century of Blue Mondays, that I don't have to teach them. How ungrateful people can be for all they receive from others. The food we eat, the things we use. But I think the lack of gratitude towards our fellow human beings is only symptomatic of a deeper malaise in the human heart. And that is man's ingratitude towards God. The trouble is that what we always have, we tend to assume we should have. We've always had two eyes. So, I'm supposed to have two eyes. Or two feet. Or my health. What is always available, we tend to believe we've got a right to. This makes it hard, so to speak, for God to evoke gratitude from us. Because from the beginning, better, from before our beginning, God has been so good to us. His love preceded our existence. It had to, otherwise we'd be the empty chairs in chapel. Or we'd be the wood out of which those chairs are made. In the deepest sense of the word, therefore, we owe gratitude to God. I don't think we often enough reflect on gratitude being a duty. It's an obligation. It is a grave responsibility. It is, if you wish, our first duty in justice towards God. Gratitude on our part is no luxury. It is not something we can either give or not give to God. Why? Because on His side, it is coming to Him. He has a claim on it. He deserves it. And although being absolutely perfect, being the infinite God, He doesn't need our gratitude. By God, He's going to get it. And if He doesn't, He punishes. In my estimation, hell is first and mainly deserved by ingrates. So we ask ourselves, what is gratitude? We might describe it as the appreciation shown to another for benefits received that were not deserved. Gratitude is therefore a compound of four elements, and at least on Thanksgiving Day, we should spend a little prayerful meditation on what is this gratitude. It begins then with something good being received from another. we are not, except with an abuse of language, we cannot be grateful to ourselves. It's someone else who is not we that gives us something. And it is only because that which we receive is good. Need I say, we are grateful only to our benefactors, never to our malefactors. There the problem is to keep from being angry and not hating. Gratitude begins with someone giving us something good. Moreover, what we receive must have been undeserved. Thus we may politely thank a person for, say, giving us something we've earned. Priscilla Smith, in New York City, who does some typing for me to keep herself in college, I pay her $3 an hour, 25 hours a week. She thanked me when I gave her last week's salary. Well, that's not real gratitude. Real gratitude means I am grateful for something that another gave me which he or she did not have to give me. Indeed, the less deserve the benefits, the more grateful we should be. The highest gratitude should be given for that which in no way was deserved. So that where the benefit is totally unearned or unclaimed, the gratitude should be boundless. We go on. Gratitude, however, is not only having been benefited by someone, and undeservingly. Gratitude is not something outside. It is something deeply inside of the human spirit. I must appreciate what that other has done. Gratitude then is realization. It is recognition. It is conscious awareness that I have received something that in greater or less measure I had no claim to. Real gratitude is in the heart and mind of the one who has been benefited. But one more feature still needs to be brought to the surface. True gratitude is not only internal appreciation, no matter how deeply felt that may be. It is also active manifestation. Gratitude is suspect, even as love is suspect, if it remains only inside. So I'm grateful. So maybe I am. But how am I showing that I am grateful? the more deeply I appreciate and the more sincerely I am grateful for what another has given to me, to which I had either no or not much claim, is that I try to prove, to show my appreciation by every means available. Speech, thank you, is a good way. Or on the not too many occasions when I've assisted people, as they were dying, had lost the power of speech, they would smile, or their eyes would show they are grateful. That's enough. If something must come from the benefactor to the beneficiary to give the grounds for gratitude, something must go from the one benefited to the one benefiting to be gratitude. So much for gratitude everywhere. Now, something about our gratitude to God. All of this that we have, I hope at not too great length, expanded on, applies to the gratitude we should have towards God and the importance of cultivating the spirit of gratitude. Suppose we go over each of the four steps so far seen and apply them to our responsive gratitude towards the one to whom we should be constantly grateful. Benefits received. What a cheap word when applied to all that God has given us in the past, is giving us in the present. And remember, we can be grateful for things in the future. Shall we call them benefits? Our existence, that we are at all, is that a benefit? Well, if that's a benefit, what's everything else? Except for God's having brought us out of nothing into being, we wouldn't even be around to experience and much less appreciate what He's given us. And as philosophical as the observation I've just made may seem to be, it's not philosophy at all. Our primary gratitude ought to be for being. Augustine says, man begins to serve God the way he should, the moment he realizes that he did not make himself. Undoubtedly, the main reason why God has us begin 9 months before we are born, and for quite some time after birth, keeps us, how thoughtful of God, in our own irrational self. Then gives us a few years, very short years, of youth and strength and vigor, and then starts the decline. Then we wear out. Then we leave the earth that, except for God, we would never have entered in the first place. All of this is designedly done by God to make us aware of the fact that nothing we've got is from ourselves. Everything, in the most universal sense of that universal word, everything, is God's. So much for benefits received. Just a thought about benefits we hope to receive. The only reason that we are so confident that God will give us what He promised, heaven for all eternity, is because we've had so far such palpable and profoundly generous signs of God's goodness in the past. We trust God in the future because we remember God's goodness in the past. Undeserved. All of this, past, present, and future, is sheer gratuity from God. How could we have deserved to come into being? We weren't around. That's absolute lack of claim. God did not have to do it this way. Absolutely speaking, the world and we in it might have existed, well, from way, way back when. But no, God wants us to know that we were nothing. And because we were nothing, then except for God, how I like that present tense, we are nothing. We had no claim on what we received. We have no claim on what we possess. And we shall have no claim on all the wonderful things that God in His goodness has in store for those, watch this, who love Him. Get it? Not necessarily in store for those whom He loves, because He loves us all. God has given us everything only because He wants to. He gets nothing from us. Zero. Nothing. In the most absolute metaphysical sense, it is impossible for us to benefit God in any way. That is sheer love. When you give just because you love the one whom you are benefiting and know full well that they cannot benefit you in return, but I return to what is not a subtle distinction. God does not need our gratitude. But if it's a mystery and life is full of mysteries, He wants it. And if He doesn't get it, we suffer. Because the worst offense we can commit against anyone is ingratitude for selfless, generous love. Appreciation. We come back to our gospel. The 9 lepers. Let's not be too sure that we, without a second thought, can tell ourselves, those ungrateful 9 wretches. Let's remember, man by nature is ungrateful.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.